I spent about 16 years over here in this old prison, what's now called the Wyoming Frontier Prison. I was actually the last warden at that prison, and then I was the first warden at the new prison. And I also hold the maybe the dubious distinction of being the longest serving warden in Wyoming prison history. It's often been said that those early prisons were built, that when a prisoner saw them, you know, they would immediately be in fear, you know, that the state was in charge, the state was, this kind of a monster that was going to control their life. And that's kind of what the old prison looked like, you know, cold walls and bars. And so then the new prison was designed, and the inmates at first resisted. They did not want to leave over here. You know, they had their life situation pretty well established. They knew their routine. They had their cell fixed the way they wanted it. They had the hobby work and so forth. And this over here was, you know, totally unknown. They had no idea what they were going to be moved into. One old inmate told us, he says, "I'm not going to go over there. You're going to have to drag me over. I'm not going to go." So my deputy warden, his name was Jim Ferguson, and I, we talked a little bit about it, how what we were going to do with him. And I said, "Let's just leave him here until we get everybody moved, and then we'll come back and sit down with him, and he'll be the last one to go." So we've got everybody moved, and on the first day and the second day, and he was still down there waiting for us. "I'm not going to go. You're not going to make me go." And then when we got him all over there, we went and found him. He was living in there all by himself. And of course, we had some guards, but he had taken all of the mattresses out of the cells, neatly stacked them. He had swept the floor and mopped the floor. It was immaculate. And he just said, "Okay, I'm ready to go." And so he was the last one that we took over there. But when I was being prepped to be the warden, you know, they told me to keep an eye on what type of a community you want out there. What are you going to do? Well, I had some ideas. As I look back on it now in my older age, I think, oh, that was foolish. That was youthful excitement, you know, that kind of propelled me in. But anyhow, I wanted to develop a community where they had a responsibility within that community. They had a role to play, and that role was being a good citizen, you know, treating other people decently, courteously, backing away from the violence, trying to do what they could to, you know, foster their own well-being, better their education. Let me tell you a little story here about one inmate. It was a young kid. In fact, he still writes letters to me, and I answer him. He came in. He was a life sentence, and he was just a little pain in the rear end. I mean, he was hard to manage, and we did everything we could with him to try to get him on the straight and narrow, get him involved and so forth, and he just would not accept guidance. He didn't want to be involved. He wanted to be a little hoodlum. I got to the point where there wasn't anything else I could do with him. I had him locked up in the last place I could lock him up, all by himself. And at that particular time, we had it was kind of a semi-religious program come in. And they had done a lot of work in prisons. And one of the interesting people in that program was a car driver for Al Capone. I still remember this. I got with this fellow and told him about this kid. And I told him, I said, "You know, we don't know what else to do with him." I said, "You know, I just hate, he's young. I hate to just lock him up." And I said, "Would you talk to him?" And he said, "Yeah, I'll talk to him." So I went back, and this kid's name was Scott. I sat down with him. And so I told him, I said, "Scott, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do with you. You know, I've come to the end of my rope, and I hate to just write you off." I said, here's the deal. And I told him about this program. I told him about this old convict. This old guy had white hair and And you could see, you know, the just looking at his face, the experiences he had been through, and told him that he was Al Capone's car driver. And I said, will you talk to him? Yeah, I'll talk to him. So that night we had the program, and of course there was, you know, a lot of religion mixed into it. And the leader, you know, toward the end of the program asked, now, would anybody like to come up and give themselves to Christ? And lo and behold, this kid popped out of his chair and walked up there. And that was the change in his life. And, you know, he's still connected with me. I tried to make it a decent place for them to live. Every one of them that came in, I met every inmate when they first came into the prison, sat down and had a chat with them, and I told them, now, these are your options. I said, you can come in here and be a jerk, be a criminal if you want to, be a hood, or, you know, you can try to start getting your life squared away. And I'd point them out some of the programs we had, and that was the beginning of it. Then I would meet all of the inmates. You know, I'd walk through the yard. I would spend time in their cell with them, and they called me Dad. The prison was the big part of my life. You know, I've spent almost 29 years in that prison, and it's hard to separate thoughts now from the prison and get a little bit emotional when I think about it.